What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host. What the hell is going on?
What?
Who's breaking things?
Unsure.
I don't know. Someone moved the mic.
That was Jacob who did whatever.
I blew my nose.
Jesus, yeah, that might have been that.
Christ, Jacob.
Yeah, I think you bumped your mic when you did that.
Fall into the abyss.
Maybe.
My gaping butthole.
Oh, geez. We just got raided at the beginning of the show, so I will just do a reintroduction. What is up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. I am being joined by my two co-hosts, Aki and Jacob. How are you two doing?
Pretty good. Inundated with reviews, so I'm happy.
Jacob, how about you?
I mean, I just woke up, so...
Helpful. Good.
You know. I don't feel like being here.
Are you just now awake? What the hell?
I took a nap after I put my kids to bed. So, like, I was asleep for like an hour.
True old man syndrome. All right.
Oh, geez. Well, it doesn't matter. You two don't matter at all today. I don't matter today.
No shit. Because
we have guests. We don't have one. We have not two. We have three of the coolest musicians that we have around on the show today. We have Grant Henry Stemmage, we have Eric Peabody, Viking Guitar, and we have Ryan Postlewaite, Mega Beardo. How is everybody doing today?
1, 2, 3, great!
Fantastic, yeah!
I have a question for all three of you.
Okay, yeah. Do we have to harmonize?
Jesus Christ.
No, you don't.
Okay.
Why did any of you choose to come on this, let alone all three of you?
Because Joe has been a huge longtime supporter of all VGM stuff, and he's a friend of ours, and we enjoy seeing him at conventions, and it seemed like a fun thing to do. Plus it strokes our own egos. Yeah. So, you know.
Okay. I believe that last one. All right, let's go.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. The selfish reason. Yes.
Also hashtag ball squad for life.
Yes. Very true.
Right there.
Yeah. Grant, I was gonna say, it's like birking it. You can do it by yourself, but it's also fun to do it with other people.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, wait. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Grant, you are no stranger to the show. You've been around easily from near the very beginning. You've been a part of this show. Eric, you've been on a few times. Ryan, you've been on a few times. So none of you are strangers to the show, but it's rare that we get so many of you together at once. And there's a good reason for that. Next weekend in Baltimore, Maryland, BitGen returns. And I think you guys are playing there, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
there's going to be a lot of amazing bands there. But Viking Guitar Live is playing, and Grant.
And the Metroid Metal.
Metroid also, Metal.
I'm playing twice. Metroid Metal. I'm playing twice.
Metroid Metal.
Metroid Metal's also. Yeah, Metroid Metal's playing, and Metroid Metal are playing. Which one am I playing in? I don't know if I even know yet. We'll find out. There was a printer posting error. Metriod Metal was listed as the co-headliner, and they changed it awfully quickly.
They did, but it's still funny.
Yeah.
They
probably should have left it.
The one on the website is still Metriod. When I went to start plugging this last week more on social media, the only one I could find is the one with Metriod, and so I just fuck it, and that's what I was sharing everywhere.
People don't notice anyway.
No.
I see words and letters, I care. Right? I care.
Oh, I noticed. I definitely noticed. I'm like,
oh, I'm sure you do.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like a lot like it matters, but yeah, it's funny. It happens.
Well, Grant, this is your first show in how many years?
Oh, like, that's
actually
a good question.
Metroid Metal, right?
Yeah, I meant to check. I think like we did a show in Houston, our 15th anniversary show was in 2018 in Houston. We played with Darren Korb and Danimal. And Sarah Kobayashi, and we played in Houston, and it was great. And that was like, it had been like 2 years before that we had played. So we haven't played a lot in the last, 8 years. So let's call it knocking the dust off. What do you say?
What made you get the band back together?
Yeah, don't call it a comeback.
Right. Yeah, we are actually supposed to play 2 years ago, but BitGen got canceled. They later shared what the roster was, but yeah, we were supposed to. What? I missed that.
Why? What happened?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yes, exactly. So feels just like yesterday, don't it? But yeah, we were supposed to play then, didn't happen, but he's given us another shot, so we're primed and ready, all lubed up, flights booked, guitars tuned. Some of that's true. Excited.
Yeah.
Be fun to play again.
Grant was feeling all comfortable doing a Metroid Metal set, and then I'm like, hey guys, guess what? Viking Guitar's playing also. And it's like, oh, you now have to learn a whole second set again. Get ready for that.
But how many of you guys are doing double duty?
Duty. A couple of us? Yeah.
Jacob's doing a duty, obviously.
Yeah. But.
No, I did it before the show.
Viking Guitar shares two band members with Metroid Metal. Yeah, two. Grant and Dan. Those are the common members. But, you know, there are other bands that have... I mean, Lonely Rolling Stars is the other one that has a lot of crossover.
Yeah.
But they're not playing, unfortunately. Yeah.
We need Lonely Rolling Stars a bit. We need, like, all of these bands. Like, Mega Beardo, you need to have Mega Beardo live, and you need to get the other guys to just join your band as well.
Okay.
And then you could just have a
just, Yeah.
Ryan's on board. He don't give a fuck.
Nope. Joe, have you gotten to VGM Con?
I have not. That is the one in what, Minnesota?
Correct. I went in 2020. Like, it was right before the pandemic hit. And I got to say, that feels like the most like running into everyone you want to see at a cool VGM event that isn't hideously overwhelming.
That's what I've heard. I know Flick and Sean have talked that one up quite a bit, and I wish I could get out there for it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go on. No, go ahead.
Well, you're a lumberjack, right, Joe? Like, aren't you like
Magfest?
First year. Like every the lumberjacks or what? How many people have been to every single mag?
There's like six of us left who have been to every mag.
So. You know, if you know the most about the OG ones, I mean, this is basically, it feels a lot like that, except it's a bit different in that a lot of the panels and stuff are geared towards musicians. So it's, if you can imagine, it's sort of, it's not just fan panels and stuff. There's a lot of, it's sort of like music education and on top of all the shows and stuff too. But it's really cool. I don't know what it was like this last round. It's missing a couple key things. It's fun to have at least a slim arcade. To knock around it at night, you know, and merch area, but they're getting there, and the shows were great. They were fantastic. So
yeah, and the vibe, I didn't walk away from it feeling like, man, there was just no way I could do everything I wanted to do, and that's how I feel every MAGFest.
Yeah.
And I also am exhausted.
I don't know. I've gotten to the point, I've been to so many MAGFests that I keep my schedule open and I just wander at this point. Like, if I bump into people, that's cool. If someone hits me up and texts me, it's like, hey, we're in this room, come party. Well, I mean, this year was different, obviously.
Right.
But generally at MAGFest, I just play it by ear. I don't even look at schedules anymore because nothing's for me anymore except my own panel. I did my own panel, so.
Yes. Your drinks and your antics and...
Yes, our lumberjack antics. Oh, so BitGen. BitGen is coming up. It's been a few years since BitGen was around. It is back. How many bands are playing? Other artists are you interested in seeing?
It's funny you ask, because I have the whole lineup here, and I'm going to rattle it off pretty quickly, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
Make sure it's nice and sexy, Eric.
I can't rattle it off fast and be nice and sexy, man. It's one or the other.
Well, then just do it slowly. No one cares.
All right, we're getting monotone. That's how it is. We have Lame Genie, Metroid Metal, Night of the Round, Super Madness, Master Sword, Super Thrash Bros, Cowabunga Pizza Time, Random Battles, Viking Guitar, Watch Out for Snakes, Wreck the System, Shred Nobi, Garbage Masher, Steel Samurai, Close to Good, Quick Save, Aoxys, and WASD, Cincinnati. So yeah,
that's a lot of good lineup.
That's a hell of
a lineup. That's the kind of lineup I wish MAGFest would have had.
One of the recent years, I don't remember if it was this one or not, was Doom themed, and they had some rock and metal there. But like, when I saw this BitGen lineup, I'm like, this is what you should have had for a fucking Doom themed MAGFest. You know, there's tons of metal in here, and they're all fucking killer people too. Which is, you know, nice.
Yeah, like you guys, you're all top notch guys, and like you took. Well, yeah. Ryan's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Ryan, you grew your hair out. You look good.
Thank you. That was thank you, COVID. That was
that your COVID hair.
It is, and I just never got rid of it. So
keeping it around with the beard.
Yeah. Why not? Fuck it. You know, it's. slowly going away, so I may as well just keep it while I got it.
Very true. I'm rocking kind of a short skullet right now because I'm bald up top. I've just been letting the hair grow. So I'm looking.
Debbie would be proud.
I'm looking awful right now. I am looking like a whole big bag of shit right now.
Oh, they're also playing.
Shit's playing. Are they on the second stage?
Yeah,
hardcore crossover VGM.
They're playing in the bathroom. Yeah. Stage three.
While they're shitting.
Yes.
The cool thing with this BitGen is the venue has two stages, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's going to be a gauntlet. I'm excited.
So it's just going to be back and forth music the entire day. Is this your first BitGen for you guys? Has any of you been to a BitGen before?
This is my first one.
Yeah, I think it's Ryan's first. I've performed at one before, and I want to say that was in 2018 or maybe 2019. I can't recall.
Yeah, Metroid Metal have done two, and the interesting thing is that there were two different venues that were not this one. So they've been at Autobar for several years, but we did a show. We've done two at two different, and they've hopped between different bars, and they've sort of landed on Autobar. They've had a really good relationship apparently with Autobar in Baltimore. Apparently, this place is just killer. The other places were cool too. So Baltimore apparently has got their venue game strong. Their two stage game is strong. But yeah, this is a different place, and it's going to be cool. You know, there's a lot of bands at this event. One of the things I noticed about MacFest is they booked a lot of single artists, which I think is, you know, there's a lot of things there, a lot more individual people doing their own thing, but COVID also produced lots of solo people with backing track kind of acts, you know?
Yes.
Just naturally. And that is what ended up playing a lot of MAG. I mean, on it, for several reasons. I mean, it's less people total. It's less expensive to get one person out than it is five. But there's a lot of bands on this roster, like clumps of people, like clumps of hairy, angry people, you know, like lots of them.
I've missed my clumps.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very angry, very hairy.
Yeah. They're hairy enough and angry enough for everyone. But like, fuck, dude, so many of these bands, I mean, I haven't seen all of them, but of the ones I've seen, they all rock. I mean, even like Shrednobi and stuff that, like, I haven't seen them come out from the West Coast unless I'm missing something. But I'm just stoked at how many bands they've got out from all over, you know?
Yep. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, JD and the whole team that runs the event, they really went above and beyond to make this happen. I'm pretty fucking excited.
Yeah, it is a bonkers lineup. I like, Grant, what was it like getting the call to be a co-headliner for this thing?
Well, he just kind of sent, like, he sent me an email and or sent a message or something and just said, hey, you know, it's been a while. Because we had done a BitGen years ago, and he's like, we're trying to put one together for this year. And he's like, what would it take to get us out there? And it's not that hard because, I mean, I'm the only one that's not, we've always all lived in different places, but right now I'm the only one that's a West Coaster. Everyone else is still driving distance to Baltimore, which is nice. And so it's an easier ask to get a bunch of people together. And it was amazing. It's like, it was super exciting. And then, I don't remember when it got canceled, but it was just freaking bummer. It was just, we were all hyped up and we put our songs together and be like, oh shit, we play in drop C sharp. We forgot, you know, that whole thing. And then like, then it's like, fuck, okay, well, I guess not this time. It looks like he went, I don't think the list of bands playing this year is exactly the same as it was 2 years ago. I know there's some stuff that was missing, but looks like he written, tried to kind of rebuild it since 2 years ago didn't happen. But we're stoked, man. It's great. It's just like, I'm excited to see all these bands, but I just know that a lot of the OG crowd is going to be there. And so it's just sort of like a good, it's almost like a weird nerdy family reunion situation. Yes. You know, I'm considering it. Here's the truth of it is that we're paying some cash to play this thing. It's like, they're helping us out. But when it comes to finding places to stay and travel and I mean, I don't know if you know, but plane tickets and gas suck, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not cheap to be other places right now. I'm just considering a little mini vacation, even though it's going to be breakneck and insane, all happening in one day. I just can't wait, you know, just caffeine up and go. have a good time. And Joe, you're going to be there.
Yeah, so. I am getting in Friday.
Oh, you are. Oh, wonderful.
Well, the plan right now is to get there Friday, as long as barring any COVID-related issues popping up in between. Ashley is testing every day because a bunch of her coworkers have been popping up with it. And, you know, she masks constantly at work. She sanitizes constantly. We've been lucky enough to have avoided it to date. And I pray to get like one more week. Give me one more fucking week without this. And, you know, I'm sure I'll catch it at BitGen, but.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. It's kind of a thing. It's just sort of like, well, we're doing this thing. It's sort of like an all-in situation at a certain point. You know, I mean, we'll see what. Yeah. There were some questions coming up about their COVID policy, like what they're doing. And they're a MAGFest event, so they're following the same protocol as MAG. I appreciate
that they have vaccinations required to show up. That's awesome.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Vax required, masks encouraged. It's like the standard stuff you've been seeing, I think.
Yeah. I know I'll be wearing a mask. I just groups of people still worry me right now. So but I can't pass up seeing you guys. It's been way too long. I'm at the point in my life where it's like, this might be the last time I see you guys. I could croak next week at this point. I want to make sure I see you guys. So I got to party one last time with all of y'all.
That's the spirit, I guess.
Go crazy one more time before the world shuts down again.
Yeah. I mean,
that's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah. But hey, until then, there are cool things happening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm focusing on. The existential hour with Joe.
I'm just a pessimist at heart. I can't help it.
Nah, I hear you.
You got like a field recorder, and you can like walk around and do like a mini kind of like a SML on location. You know, you could do your little mini band interviews and shit. You ever thought about doing something like that?
I would love to do that. I don't know what kind of equipment would be good. I know Tim and David Ottavino with X Strike and Fat Gatsby. They used to use the SingStar mics for PlayStation because there were two microphones with just one input jack.
Huh.
And they used those mics and a little handheld recorder, and they would do interviews at MAGFest like that with SingStar mics.
That's actually pretty amazing.
I've always wanted to look into finding SingStar mics and a good recorder and bring it down to BitGen and have some interviews, but I'm really lazy too, so that would require work.
I mean, I don't know what your phone is, but I bet your phone's little you know, recorder app could probably do something pretty amazing if you can corner someone. There's always a quiet space in a venue where there's always music playing.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, just have an iPhone. So
yeah.
Which I'm in the Apple ecosystem. I buy your shit on iTunes.
There you go.
Yeah. I just like last week had to replace my phone. I was still using a 2016 iPhone, and was finally like, fuck, I have to do it. And I had to make the decision, is it the time I finally switch over? I'm like, no, I just need to fucking switch to this new one and keep going. I don't have time to do that. So I fucking bought another goddamn iPhone. I'll probably use this for another 7 years or whatever. So
I have too much money invested in iTunes music to give it up at this point.
Well, I think you can get, you know, apps to do that, to, you know, get your iTunes library on Android or whatever, but I could be wrong on that.
I don't know. I'm sure you could easily convert the files and sit there and change it over to MP3 and whatnot. Yeah, but
it's a lot of fucking work.
Yeah, we already stated I'm lazy. I'm just so goddamn lazy. I don't want to do that.
I can confirm he is incredibly lazy.
Yeah. So Aki, would you ever go to something like BitGen?
No.
No, you wouldn't want to go to like a day-long concert with arcade machines and
too many people. Way too many people.
There are only going to be a few hundred people there.
It's too many people for me too. Like both of the other guys in the band can confirm, whenever I'm at these events, like every so often I just have to vanish for 10 or 15 minutes just to not be around people and have some, you know, mental solitude for a moment.
Oh, I have extreme social phobia to the point that I don't leave my house, but like for a couple hours a month
of my gaping butthole.
So
yeah,
being surrounded by people,
yeah,
it's like I went to one concert once, and it was a handful of years before COVID came around. And we were there for like 5 hours, and I was popping anxiety pills every about half hour to an hour and drinking heavily.
Oh, wow.
And I still ended up having a panic attack near the end.
Yeah. Well, we have lots of good streaming options for a lot of events these days, so that might be the better route, you know, if you need some distance there.
Now, that's something I might do.
Yeah.
That leads to a good question. Is BitGen going to be streamed?
That's a great question.
I don't know, and I'm an asshole for bringing this up and not having an answer to that.
Eric, do you have an answer to this? Because I want to know.
No, you know what I have, though, is I have introduced a wonderful and invigorating element of suspense into all of your lives that will keep you going through this next week of droll, boring work until BitGen. Can
someone just like text somebody at BitGen and be like, hey, is it going to be streaming?
I don't know. I remember asking JD about it, and I don't remember what he said because there's been a lot of stuff going on since then. So I don't have an answer. I'm sorry.
There's a lot they figure out up front and a lot they figure out later. And I think the streaming thing was something they were kind of looking into as things really started to come together. Right. So it was a question mark before. I mean, it's something that they've MAG events normally do. So, and this is one of them, and it would be a killer one to stream.
Oh, it'd be amazing to stream.
Yeah. So we'll have to,
fingers crossed that happens.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that would be great.
And if not, just look up MAGFest VODs on YouTube or something and find all the awesome concerts from there.
I did have this vision of like, you know, hiring like a 5-camera crew and getting like a guy with his fancy ass laptop to get a Pro Tools dump from the board and like, you know, all this shit. That would be amazing. All this pro, get a pro shot thing going. And then I was like, oh yeah, money and oh yeah, time and no. And then I was like, what if just during your favorite song, you go, all right, everyone, you've been doing it anyway. Pull your fucking phones out and film this next song and email me the footage, and then you just cut together like the best music video ever with 1,000, you know, cell phone cameras.
That kind of sounds awesome. Actually.
That does sound awesome. You should do that.
So have you guys ever heard of The Fix, the 80s band? Eric.
Oh, yeah. I'm listening to The Fix right now, actually.
In his other ear. Just like, let's see the
video. I've got Spotify open. I've got one thing leads to another on.
Oh, I love this. Well, on topic then. So they released a DVD. They never did like a Pro Shot DVD, but they did do a show where they had, it's like there was a Beastie Boys concert like this. I think they like bought a bunch of cameras and handed them out to the audience members.
Yeah, the documentary.
The cameras.
The documentary is called Awesome, I Fucking Shot That.
Yes, I shot that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, totally. Well, now everybody's got a camera. So that's basically what they did, is they had their fans shoot the show and then just get the audio and then cut it together afterwards. And I just think that'd be a cool idea. So
I look forward to the entire Metriad Metal show having a music video, the entire show.
Just pick a song. We can't make the audience work. This is for fun. You got to have a hand to tip your beer to your face. So, you know, for one song, it's like, all right, you know, Metriad.
Grant, it's going to work great until all of the submitted videos are in selfie mode.
Oh, God. That would be fantastic.
Every single one.
Or like someone has their thumb over half the camera.
Or you know what it would be? They'd all be vertical. Every last one of them. That's not even a joke. I bet 30%, if you even said something,
horizontal people, vertical. Hold your phones horizontally when you're doing video. Horizontal. Yeah. Do not do vertical video. It is awful.
Anyway, thank you all for helping me think through this.
But that's for TikTok, man. TikTok. TikTokers. Yeah.
So, Ryan, what are you going to be doing at the show?
Yeah, Ryan.
I'm going to play guitar for like 40 minutes on stage, and then I'm probably just going to drink for the rest of the time. Hang out.
Drinking is a good thing to do. I did not expect that noise to pop up. I'm sorry.
Very dramatic.
Yeah.
No, that was like just an achievement.
It was like a more you know. That's star my, came I, by. You know?
That was a loud thing, achievement pop too.
Yeah, the bad thing is I paused the game specifically so no one would hear it, and then an achievement popped immediately after I paused.
What are you playing?
Bright Memory.
Nice.
Just got an achievement for killing 20 people with fire weapons.
Are you reviewing that later?
Yes.
Not tonight.
Of course you are. Oh.
Yeah, not later tonight. Though I might be able to, but oh, no. God.
That's a good topic. What are you guys playing these days?
Nothing.
If you're playing anything these days.
Not a whole lot. The last thing I put any time into was the new Turtles game. I went through that three or four times. Had a good time with it. I have Elden Ring ready to go for the winter. It's just I'm not ready for that yet.
That game looked good. I haven't played it.
Yeah, I'm super late to all these games, so I played Dark Souls for the first time like 2 or 3 years ago and fucking loved it, and then Bloodborne for the first time just
drop it, bitch!
Do you like anime?
No. I mean, I don't not like it. It's just something I don't gravitate toward. That makes sense.
Do you like big titties?
Who doesn't?
Play Code Vein.
Code Vein?
Yeah, it's a very easy Dark Souls-like game with big, hitty anime girls.
Okay, I can get behind that.
Yeah, that's an elevator pitch.
That is literally what sold me on it, because when it first came out, everyone's like,
it's
Dark Souls. So I was like, all right, I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, we own a copy. Brenna likes anime and loves Dark Souls, and so when it came out, I was hearing, you know, Anime Souls, and so I grabbed it for her. But we still haven't had a chance to play that yet. I bought it when it released, and we haven't had time to play it yet.
There's been so much free extra content for customizing characters and stuff. It's really cool. Yeah, well, if you don't have the season pass, you should get that, too.
Well, we need to find time to play it in the first place, but yeah.
Maybe that'll propel you to, or make you play it if you buy the DLC. I've put so much money into this, we need to play it.
No, I've fallen into the trap of, if I buy this, I'll use it way too much with games and audio software and all that shit.
Ah, tis a shame.
Yeah. What is the last game you played, Eric? I know Brennan's
like, playing. played or just like popped in for 5 minutes and then...
Both.
Last one I popped in for just a few minutes was that... Blooper Blair Witch game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good game.
Yeah, I was enjoying it. I put in maybe half an hour, but then had to stop for some reason, and that was 2 weeks ago, and I haven't played it since. Last
game sounds like nearly every game I play anymore.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the last one I really played. You know what? It might have been Layers of Fear, another Blooper one, but this would have been back around early October. And then before that, it was the Black Mesa Half-Life remake in summer of 2020.
I still haven't played that myself.
It's incredible.
My PC can barely run it, so it's the only reason I haven't played it yet.
I don't know. Like I don't disagree with you, but I got it to run on this fairly shitty older laptop I have from 2013, and it ran. It wasn't, you know, the smoothest experience, but it was doable.
That's about how old my desktop is.
Give it a shot.
I will have to do that. Just to see if it'll actually run it at all.
Yeah, just buy it first and see if that motivates you to finally play it.
I owned it before it was even finished, because I was like, I love Half-Life, so I had to buy it.
Yeah, it's very good.
Nice.
Anyway, I've monopolize the conversation for long enough. What's everyone else playing?
Grant, what are you playing?
My wife and I recently went through The Quarry. We picked that up.
How is that? That's on sale.
It is on sale. So the story is Claire doesn't play any games. I've tried really hard. Like, I've tried just seeing if there is a genre that would appeal. And because she used to play some stuff. She's played Tomb Raider and Heretic and Hexen and Heretic and Hexatic, you know. She's played old games, but just doesn't have any interest. But she'll watch the occasional game, and we've enjoyed it. And one of the first games we played together was Until Dawn. So as soon as The Quarry came out, I'm like, yes, you know, I have to get this to play it. Because we didn't really like the Dark Pictures series. They're all kind of stupid, you know. Like we didn't really
I understand that.
He killed the wrong people, and it just didn't work, and there's all this personality crap we didn't like. Anyway, so I picked it up, and it's cool. It still suffers from a similar thing of you can save everyone in that game or kill everyone in that game, just like in Until Dawn, but you might just kill the wrong people, and then the story makes no sense, and all of a sudden the game is over. And then we went to YouTube and watched the hour and a half video with every ending, and that was the most amazing part of playing that game, was actually seeing all of the different ways that everything tied together. But on one single playthrough, you don't see that stuff. I don't know if that makes sense.
Is it a game that encourages replayability?
It does. It does this thing where it will turn on. This is a really dumb thing. I had read about this and was wondering why it didn't pop for us. But if you buy, there's a deluxe version of the game, I guess. And if you buy that, it includes a mode that allows you to choose to resurrect a character if you kill them by accident. So it will pop the story back to let you make another choice.
Oh, that's not something that should be included in a deluxe version.
I know. The way it works in this, if you just buy the regular version, is that pops when you beat the game. So you can play it again and then have that rewind feature. Yeah, that's neat, but we didn't get to see it. We weren't going to sit through the preamble again just to, like, because it's not a short game. I mean, it's a beautiful game, and it's some pretty lengthy. And I saw it was on sale, and I think it's if you liked Until Dawn, it's worth it for that amount of money. But
yeah, it's like 40 right now.
40
right.
bucks instead of 60 bucks. Yeah, is what I do this thing where I always buy physicals and then I just turn around and sell them. So we beat it quickly enough that I got, you know, I probably lost. It was probably a $15 rental, you know.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. So
they're doing the deluxe edition for like $54 on Xbox right now, and I was eyeing that up because. That has both the Xbox and the Series S version of the game, because, you know, they got to be special and release them separate now instead of doing the handy smart delivery feature that Xbox has.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's cool, though. It's got Ted Raimi in it. It's got I can't remember the lady's name from Twin Peaks, who's the crazy lady. You can't remember her name. It's got some names in it, and they really... It's not quite as well written, I don't think, as Until Dawn, but it's still cool if you can get it on sale.
David Arquette from Ravenous.
David Arquette's in it. Oh, by the way, I kind of forgot. David Arquette's in it.
From Eight Legged Freaks, David Arquette.
Yeah, the very same.
The very one, yeah.
Yeah.
Movie's so good. What's coming up that you guys are looking forward to besides BitGen? Like, what games are coming up or what events are coming up? What should we keep an eye out on?
I mean, it's not a video game, but fucking Nope comes out tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Damn. Excited
about
that.
What's that?
That's
a movie.
Jordan Peele joint. Yeah.
Yeah, Jordan, the guy who did Get Out's new movie. Get Out and Us.
Okay, what is going on? Like, I'm so confused.
Just in general?
No, with Nope. Like, I see trailers for it, and I'm so confused. Like, what's it about?
I do not want to discuss this.
Nobody knows.
I haven't even watched any trailers because I know I'm going to see it. I want to go in as blind as possible.
Okay. Well, then we'll skip that conversation.
I've gouged my eyes out.
It's a good plan.
Sorry. Yeah. Don't mean to shut it down, but this.
No, I'm with you. I'm very excited. Still excited.
I guess not knowing is better. Nope.
Drop it.
Next month. I thought was interesting, but I know I can't remember what they were.
Got to give a quick shout out to Trivium Champ in chat, who's been dropping bits the whole show, up to 150 bitties so far. So thank you so much, Triv.
Thank you.
Always good to see you in chat. You guys stream at all?
Oh God. I have a few times. It's not something I can do consistently.
No,
yeah. I would watch you. I would be Brad. I would be like Ceiling Cat.
Well, I was streaming narration for a while, but it's just tough because I'm such an old man in terms of my waking hours. Like, I wake up at 5 most mornings, and usually by about 8:30 I'm in bed. And since I'm on the East Coast, you know, that's not going to work too well. You know, if I was on the West Coast and doing this at like 4 or 5 or something, that would be one thing. But doing it out here at, you know, 7 p.m. means it cuts off a lot of the rest of the country. So anyway, you know.
Yeah. What about you, Ryan? Any streaming on your end?
I did some streaming when the pandemic hit, and like, oh, maybe this will be fun to try out. And I I tried it out. I streamed. I bought a pinball machine. I set up a pretty nice little setup for stream that I was basically my main focus was trying to get the high score on the machine. Because whoever had it before me had a pretty fucking good score. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stream this until I get the high score. And then, you know, I advertise it a little bit and be like, hey, come watch me try to beat this high score. And then there was a day that I didn't advertise it. I'm like, I'm just going to stream just in case, but I'm not going to advertise it because I wasn't feeling good that day. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to beat this high score today. And like the first fucking try, I just nailed it. Nobody's watching. I'm like, motherfucker. All right. Well, that's a good way to stop my streaming. That's whatever. So, yeah, that's about as far as I got. Other than that, I streamed a couple times playing like Super Mario Brothers 2 because that's kind of what I can blindly go through without paying much attention and beat pretty easily. So I'm not a very entertaining guy to watch stream. I don't
like,
think. But
like warpless or like with warps. Like, what are you? Can you do both?
I can do Mario both. 2? Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. I when I was this was maybe second grade before school, before I got on the bus every day, I would beat Super Mario Brothers 2. Like, I would get up, eat my breakfast, beat Mario Brothers 2, get on the bus, go to school, come home, play more video games.
So wow, I it was like a job to you to just go through Mario 2.
It was just like going through the motions. Like, it was just part of waking up for me. I don't know. It was really weird. But I got so good at it that I'm like, oh, I'm just... I got 25 minutes. I can beat Mario Brothers 2 before I can get on the bus. So
I remember that's what I did. The first time that me, my brother, and my mom got to warp as a kid, I was like hiding behind my mom. I was so scared. Like the music to playing. Warp? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the music playing.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was scared shitless as a little kid back then.
Yeah, it's
ominous. And then they beat the frog and he fell and it was all a dream.
He makes those like that sound effect they use is sort of like a squeak or a choke or something. It's like that word, you know, like, or it's like the same noise when you hit Birdo, but it's really unnerving.
It is.
Like a muffled scream. You know what I mean? Like that SNES Bit Crush kind of scream.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a song you guys could play at BitGen.
Warts theme?
Yeah. Warts theme? Oh, dude. We'd fuck. That's just like, ooh, that's menacing.
That up.
That's
12-minute doom metal cover.
Yeah. All right, Eric, that's what I expect out of you in the next few months.
Oh man, I'm writing it down.
12-minute doom
metal. Let's see if myself tomorrow morning can understand what wart doom metal means.
If you could just write 8 string at the end of that, we'll be,
Yeah,
be
good. Here we go. 8 str. Gotcha. So now I'll think it's a D&D thing.
Oh great.
8 strength roll of 8. Yeah.
Well, both 8 strength and 8 strings. Just
yeah.
Any definition.
Do either of you guys have an 8 string? I know Adam does.
Oh.
No, I borrowed one. I borrowed Adam's for one song.
That's right.
And I hated it so much. I was like, please take this back. But I did finish the song.
I appreciate sticking with the 7 for so long, Grant.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I use it on my shit too. It's not like it's just my Viking guitar.
I was at my buddy's house and jamming on his 8th string that he has down to drop E.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh, let me see what it sounds like when I play Marble Madness, like High Roller on this thing, and it sounded fucking terrible.
It's like the sloppiest fucking bass guitar if you're trying to do something like that.
It literally sounded like turning on a whammy pedal, drop down an octave, and trying to play a riff. You know, it just sounded terrible.
It takes some getting used to, and I'm not there yet, but I'll tell you this. Night of the Round plays 2 8 strings and they are one of the tightest sounding groups I've seen live. They like somehow they have really tight guitar tones and they know how to work with it very well.
Oh yeah. So, they've figured it out. That's for sure.
Yes. They've cracked the code.
That's right. They're kings.
Yeah. That's tough.
Can't wait to see those boys again.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking of them and them being at BitGen, do you guys have your set lists planned out? Anything special that people should be expecting?
Wait, we have to figure this out in advance?
Oh, fuck.
I mean, sometimes.
We just do, yeah, we do the Hell Hat. We do like Kirby's Dream Band, and we just hand a hat out to the crowd with our entire discography and be like,
pick a song. Let's okay, fuck paper. It. Let's do it.
We don't play together frequently enough to pull off some shit like that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, we do have the set list planned. Let me pull it up real quick just so I can talk with some degree of intelligence. Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, it's all the hits. There are a couple we're bringing in that we haven't played in a little bit. Geothermal is one of them. That's a mashup of a couple tunes from Cave Story. And also Blaster Master, which is good. That's a fun one. And we haven't played that in a few years. It's 5 years at this point. Good Lord.
Wow.
Yeah. That was at one of the PAXs, wasn't it? I was asking you guys about this recently. Yeah,
that was a PAX. And I don't think we've played Geothermal since AG 2014.
It's hard for me to remember that. Yeah, because I've played that at solo at least twice. And I want to say one of the shows I did with just one of you guys, with Ryan or Grant. I feel like we played it at one of those, but I could be making that up. But yeah, it's going to be good. And we have a special guest for this show also, our regular drummer, the esteemed and ginormous Adam Henry, is tied up with another obligation. So Angel Hernandez is going to be sitting in on drums. And he kind of got hooked up with all of us first by working with Beardo. He drummed on Ryan's Legend of Zelda album and did a fucking amazing job. And he's done a few things with me since then. That we did a Super Metroid Norfair cover recently, Lower Norfair. And he's been on some other stuff recently. So we're really excited. I mean, you know, it sucks to not have Adam there, but we're super stoked to get to bring Angel in and get him on stage. And, you know, the thing with these shows is they facilitate us getting to see a bunch of people that we never get to see. And Angel's someone I haven't seen since MAG 2014. Yeah. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm stoked.
I think that was the last like thing that he went to, right?
I think it was the last
big one.
Yeah.
It's so funny because he's like, he used to be a touring drummer. Like he's played with some big acts. Like he's been around, but he doesn't drum as much anymore. And this is not easy drumming. I mean, this is like picking up the VGL, you know, torch for a drummer is no slouch. And this motherfucker just dropped his tracks on our practice session. Like, I mean, he's got a couple of different, he leans a slightly different direction maybe than some other metal drummers and a little different than Adam, but man, just pounding it.
Yeah. Well,
just
I mean, that's fine. You know, I mean, so like, shit, dude, like, you know, when I write one of the Viking guitar songs and then pass it to you, you record rhythms differently than I do. And I've, gotten down to the point of that's part of the writing process for those songs. Now I send it through the Grant filter to see what you make better.
Yes, that's exactly, that's what's happened with the Metroid shit. I sent it to Kirby and I'm like, I got no fucking idea what I'm going to get back. You know? So yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. But it's going to be awesome seeing Angel. Yeah, it's going to be good times.
Scorched Earth in the set list?
Scorched Earth is in the set list.
Cool. That's what I had to make sure about.
Yeah.
Joe's about to cancel his hotel room.
I was ready. I had the page up. I was like, Scorched Earth not in there? Fuck you guys.
Yeah, I'm seeing him tweeting at Bitch End Gamerfest. What's the cancellation policy? No, I don't want to announce the whole set list, but we've got some good stuff in here. And there are a few I'm particularly happy about. So yeah, it's going to be good. And, the other nice thing is going back and playing through these to remember how to play them all. There were no moments where I'm like, you know, Gandalf in the mines. I have no recollection of this place at all. it's all stuff that I feel pretty good with. I think everyone else, you know, there are no like big surprises on here or any of our super long, really technically challenging ones. So, you know, those are fun to play in their own way, but there's also something nice about getting up there for a quick 40-minute set where we're just rocking out and headbanging the whole time, then get off stage, you know.
In and out, do it quick and have a good time.
Exactly.
There you go.
Grant, what about you? Good. Anything besides Metroid in your set list?
I will go ahead and say no. Nothing.
You're not going to shock the world and do anything crazy?
No, you know what? You know what the story is with this is that like we've played so infrequently anymore. And let me tell you, I pick up a guitar and be like, I wrote this song, and go, oh my God, how do I play this song? And then, you know, it just happens. It's like part of that brain. This is what the beer I'm drinking right now might kill another song that I'm not playing this set, and I won't know it in a year. But I'm always so thankful to Kevin Kirby and Danimal and Dan and to get together and be willing to do this stuff more. Everyone's got their own projects. Kirby's recording whole soundtracks now, whole cover soundtracks, and he did Solar Jetman recently. Danimal's a goddamn superstar with his laser projecting, and he's going to be broadcasting from the moon soon. So he's, you know, I'm super thankful when they want to still play. And so I was like, look, like, what are the most fun songs to play? Like, forget the ones we should play or Weird Tricks and Fuck With You songs. Like what are the ones that like you want to get up and jam on? And that's what we picked for our set.
Nice.
So this is sort of the, like, let's get up and just play Girls Just Want to Have Fun for 40 minutes set. That's what we're doing.
I hope you guys really do play that song.
Well, now we got to fucking,
you got to learn it.
Cut the feet.
anything from Metroid Prime 4.
Well, you guys ready for some spoilers here?
That's it.
We got a skloozy. Nope.
We're all going to laugh in 15 years when that game comes out, and Grant knew at that time he was already contracted to do the soundtrack for the game.
He's been writing the fucking soundtrack this whole time.
Yeah. Exactly. Long game.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for a while. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about or any projects you wanted to bring up and discuss?
Do you guys mind if I go first? I got a couple things.
Yeah, go for it. Do it.
Okay. First off, I need to plug something else I'm doing. I don't know how.
Isn't it another podcast? I'll be so pissed if it's another podcast.
I mean, it kind of is. But I do voice work around audio production, and I recently, within the last few years, have been signed up working, doing these one-off narrations for this online entity called Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. And they do a bunch of one-off horror stories and also run a few regular shows, one of which is called Horror Hill. And I recently had the opportunity to take over that show. So every week I put out a horror story that is curated from the internet, which is a very horrific place. And if you just look for Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on YouTube, you'll find the Horror Hill stuff there. They also have a Patreon if you get real into it and want to support the show. But that's been a fun thing that's been a large part of my life for the last 3 or 4 months at this point.
Get us a YouTube link and we'll include it in the show notes so people can check it out.
I'll be happy to. I absolutely will. But yeah, outside of that, I've got a couple little musical projects going on. I'm still working on a larger musical project that was crowdfunded, unfortunately, several years ago at this point, but then life and the pandemic and a million other things happened. But I'm still working on that, and that's about it for me. I'll shut up now.
Cool. Ryan, what about you? What's going on with you?
So I also play bass in a band called Byzantine. We're centralized in West Virginia, even though I'm in Pittsburgh. So we are playing a few shows in August. The first one being, it's a little festival show in the Cincinnati Newport area. It's called, what the fuck is it called? Slaughter at the Southgate Revival. That's what it's called.
Interesting.
We're playing with one of our favorite bands, Exhorter. They are a very riff heavy band, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're playing a couple shows the end of August in West Virginia. One of them is it's August 26th. That will be at the Rock City Cake Company. It's a bakery, but they also have metal shows there.
And that so we're sounds playing incredible.
It's fucking great, and they make amazing amazing cakes. So we're playing a metal after party there. And then, the 27th, the next day, we're playing a festival down in Pipestem, West Virginia called Metal in the Mountains. And, so that's kind of what we got going. It's Metal in the Mountains is a lot of fun. It's out in the middle of fucking nowhere. We stay in a cabin, and like last year, I got to stay in a cabin, and I got kicked out because Soulfly got there early, and they needed to get my bedroom. So I was like, well, I guess I'm leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So I had to make sure I didn't make my bed too stinky for Max Caballero. But
not many people get to say that.
Yeah, right? No one's ever said that phrase before. Like, those words have never happened.
Brand new sentences.
Or it could have been Dino from Fear Factory was playing with them at the time. I don't know if he still is.
Oh, wow. But,
so, yeah, that's what we got going on.
Ryan, you didn't just, in Sharpie, right above the bed on the ceiling, write Arise in big letters?
I should have. I did not.
Shame.
It'd be terrifying.
Right.
Oh, man. Grant, what about you? What's in your future?
Working on a couple different tracks and a couple different engineering projects. I did master an album for a band that's going to be at BitGen. The band's called Garbage Masher, and they're fucking cool. They're like drums, guitar, chip combo.
Ooh.
And I really like it. And the album's cool as hell, and it will be out somewhere before in the next week and a half. So crank that Garbage Masher. I'm excited to see them. Not a lot of specific stuff. I don't know. Like, there's just a lot of things in process right now, and I feel like I've been able to put out like a song a month for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, which is nice. I've just been sitting on stuff that hadn't been able to come out, and some tracks have come your way, and it's been fun to put things out. So check out my Bandcamp and stuff, and I plan on taking some stuff from my older catalog and finally getting it out on streaming. I counted, I've got like 25 or 26 songs that are just sitting there, not available for you, Joe, to acquire on your iTunes.
Get them there, and I'll buy them.
As you say.
I was literally doing that today.
Were you? Yeah. I made a list.
And I'm like, I can license all this shit, and it's just sitting here. So
exactly, I'm gonna put it together. Like, I have about 7 or 8 songs. I'm gonna put the little Halloween EP together for the season coming up, and some stuff that just needs to happen. Like, there's no reason for my Goblin covers to just be on YouTube. You know, it's just doesn't need to be that way. So anyway, so that's the latest here, I guess.
Gesundheit.
Holy moly,
Grant! I feel like half, if not more, of the work. Audio work you're doing at any given time is also tied up under NDAs and stuff, so
yeah
which is good, because you're getting a lot of, you know, legit audio work.
Yeah, it's cool. There are some like songs too. It's just, but again, it's all sort of for projects, and some of that stuff isn't it. It's just weird. I'm pleased to be able to say that, but it's also, I don't want to hear that shit from people. You know what I mean? So, but
What are you doing? I'm so much cool stuff. Can't tell you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how I word it.
Yeah. Speaking of cool shit you guys did, how's this for a final question? We'll have known the result by now, but all three of you have done a theme song for this show. Whose theme song should open this episode?
Oh, fuck.
All of them at the same time.
That's like amazing. That.
Okay.
Can you cut them together? Can we get a, you know, it's like,
yeah, make it like sound like a Carrie King solo.
Grant, I'll upload them. You cut something together. How's that?
I am 2 beers in, and I got another one sitting right here. So if you want to hook me up,
fuck yes.
Let's go.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we will let you guys get going. We have show news to get to, and news of the week, and all that fun stuff. Did anyone want to stick around for news? Eric, I know you had to get going early because you got some stuff going tomorrow morning.
Yes, I have to get up early, so I will be running for the time being. But it's been nice talking with you guys, and it's been nice just kind of having a casual conversation, too, and not, you know, just having it just be like pure music hype time. This has been a very lovely addition to my evening.
I love having you guys on. It's always a pleasure having you on. So come back soon.
Oh, okay, sure. And hey, we'll see you next weekend, right?
Indeed.
Holy shit.
So cool.
There ain't no hug like a Joe hug. I always remember the Zangief hug from
right,
buddy. Oh my god.
I'll bring you some lip balm too.
Okay.
Well, that's ominous.
All right.
No, we have I'm not sure if you guys have seen, but we have SML Podcast Lip Balm.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, that's so fucking
cool. We have a wet pancake flavored and wet pancake 2 blueberry boogaloo.
Oh my god.
The cake. Yes. Norg's face is on both of them.
Nice.
I have no idea.
This is wonderful. And I want this trajectory to continue as far as it will go.
Yes, I will hook you guys up. Ryan, were you going to stick around or did you need to head out?
I do need to head out as well. I've got an early morning tomorrow, but it's been lovely, guys. I appreciate it.
Grant, what about you? You sticking around, hanging out? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm early. It's like 7, and I have a beer left, so let's go. We'll do news, and then I'll roll on.
Well, Eric and Ryan, we'll let you two get going. Have yourselves a wonderful night.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
You all, too. Thanks again, Joe. It's always great to do this. I'm sorry we can't do it more frequently.
Yeah, we'll fix that in the future. We'll figure it out. Yes.
You all have a nice
night. Absolutely.
Take care, guys.
See you. Right. Bye. See you guys.
Bye. All right. So news. Y'all ready for news?
Sure.
I think that's the first time I've ever heard Eric's voice.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Does anyone ever tell him he sounds like William Daniels?
Who's that? I got to Google that.
I played Mr. Feeny.
Who's
Boy
that?
Meets World.
Boy Meets World.
Oh, I didn't watch.
Also the voice of Kit on Knight Rider.
Oh, okay. That I know. Really? Oh, that guy. Now I have to do more research.
Like the whole time, I'm just like, oh man, I really want him to like say something from Knight Rider.
Should have said something.
I don't know, man. I don't know these people. I don't want to act like a complete fucko. Guests
on the show. You are a complete fucko.
I know, but like first impressions, you know. Then like the next time I talk to them, I could be like, hey, can you like say something Mr. Feeny would say? Like. I don't want to be a complete dickhead the first time that like that he meets me, because then he's going to be like, oh, is Jacob on this time? So there's Napoleon Dynamite around?
Hey, people ask that every time.
Nobody asked for me to be around. Like, we fucking know that.
No, they asked for warning.
I totally can hear this, by the way.
I kept hearing Norg when Eric would talk. I keep hearing Norg's voice every now and then.
I think you just want to hear Norg's voice.
I do want to hear Norg's voice.
Wet pancakes.
Wet pancakes. Should we just play wet pancakes right now?
Why not?
Wet would you like pancakes! To know what I finished? Sure, what do you think, Aki?
No, I said what I finished.
Oh, what'd you finish?
Bright Memory.
Did you?
Yeah, I just finished it.
Oh, jeez. Well, we'll talk about that next week, but for now, we have video game news to get to.
Drop it!
We also got Bits, Trivium Champ dropping 100 biddies, making the cup explode. Thank you, Trivium Champ. Always good seeing you in chat and playing Rock Band. I watch Trivium Champ play a lot of Rock Band.
You watch that's everyone good. Play a lot of Rock Band.
That's I do. Like I watch a lot watch. Of Rock Band.
That's Rock all Band
streams and that Fall Guys.
Anything to do with, yeah, it's always Rock Band for everything.
Honestly, Fall Guys, now that I got into Fall Guys, like I think it's like the one game I could actually just watch like people playing and stuff that.
I fucking told you wrote it off before you ever played it, and then I finally got you to play it and you're like, oh, this game's fun.
Yeah, it really is. Especially when you're baked and like you get to hear me like, ah! It's like I'm trying to like make it across stuff.
Grant, do you play Fall Guys?
So I played it when it was free on Plus, I think, right? Didn't it debut on Plus for free?
Yeah.
I know, because I didn't pay for it. Okay. And so I played it, and I played a couple rounds, and I'm like, I feel like it didn't control that well, and I'm not really a 100-to-1 kind of gamer person. So I uninstalled it. And then it went on, it became freemium, so I downloaded it again, and I played it once. And I won.
Nice.
And then I was like, I still don't think this game's for me. And now it's covered with microtransaction stuff. So I uninstalled it. But I freaking, first try, I won.
That's amazing.
And now I'm never going to touch it again. And now I can just like have, like, I can put that shit on my fucking gravestone.
Yeah. You have a 100% win record on
it. What did you play it on? Amazing.
Oh, it was kind of like first things available. It was like a. I guess they do have. They have like you can do pairs, and it's almost Fortnite in a way.
I meant like what console were you playing on?
Series X.
Yeah, because I had it on PlayStation, and I would play it like every now and then, and just like whatever. And then they finally released it on Xbox, and I'm playing it nonstop.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really quick to get in. The mode that I did really well on was this one where you are on a series of platforms that are split into these segments, and as you run over them, the segments disappear, and you fall through them and land on the platform below you, mm-hmm. is what I'm saying makes
Hexagon,
sense?
Hexagon, okay. Yep.
Yeah, so I was really freaking good at that, apparently, is what happened. And then I was just had my path going, and I zenned out, and I traveled to some far-out universe, and then I won.
It's neat. We'll have really to try great. Playing together.
Yeah, I'd love to. Is this split screen?
I don't know if it's split screen. I don't know if they Wondering. Have local co-op or not. Jacob, okay. Have you checked that out at all?
What?
If Fall Guys has split screen?
No, I haven't tried.
I thought maybe I know that you can do with your kids or something.
You can do pairs or threes or something. And I'm like, well, I wonder if they did that because then you could play two local and hop online with people. Anyway, but it's cool. It's just it's not quite my
thing. No, I don't think it has split screen. I think it's only online multiplayer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Xbox, Game Pass, a lot of games coming to Game Pass. A bunch available right now. We got Garden Story, Solasta, Crown of the Magister, Sins of a Solar Empire, Rebellion on PC, Watch Dogs 2, MotoGP 22, Torment, Tides of Numenera, and a day one launch of As Dusk Falls. All available on Game Pass right now.
Cool.
That's a crazy week for Game Pass.
Yeah,
just Grant, a little bit. Have you had your eyes on As Dusk Falls at all?
Yeah, didn't they show that at the the Summer Game Fest? I think that was one of the ones they kind of showcased there. It's like it's kind of choose your own adventure-ish until yeah. dawn-ish, but it's still art and a little not horror. I don't think it's a little more. I actually don't know what it's about, but
I don't want to ruin anything. But if you had your eyes on this one, I would give it a check because
I think I guess they have a lot of really cool kind of multiplayer co-op things you can do, ways you can play even with your phone. Like it seems like they've kind of incorporated a lot of different things that previous games have tried, and so that sounds cool.
From what I could tell, it's mostly like voting stuff and like picking options, but the host could override if they decide to. But story-wise, like, I wasn't too sold on the art style, but story-wise, when I was watching our friend Carnage play on stream, I got really invested in the story, and he only played through, like, chapter 2, and I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck, I gotta download this game now.
Right on. Yeah, I need to give it a shot.
If you're into stuff like The Quarry and Until Dawn, I think you might want to give this one a go.
Yep, cool.
And then next week, July 29th, Inside is coming to Game Pass.
Wasn't it originally on Game Pass in the first place?
Probably, and it probably left and now it came back.
I'm glad it's back. That's a good, quick little game to play.
Yeah. Isn't the guy... There's two games coming from the Inside people. Like, the Inside team split in two, and one of them is making that... There's two games. One of them was premiered at Summer Games Fest, and it was like a bunch of... It looks like a isometric game where there's a bunch of orbs, and there's like universes inside universes or something. Am I making any sense?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's one of the Inside guys made that game. And then the other guy made a game that's had a trailer shown for like 2 years. And it looks kind of Inside-y, but it involves a family. Shit.
Somerville.
Somerville. Thank you. Yes. That game one of the
Inside. That's people. On my list of games I want to play.
Yeah. Definitely. Same. Big time. But the other guy, so they split. The Inside Limbo team split. And so one guy made that game. The other guy made this other game that is supposed to come out. It was shown off at the Xbox. Playdead is the company. Oh, anyway, I got to figure out what this is.
Yeah, let me know.
I'm wondering if Inside going back up on Game Pass is like setting up, you know, they're getting ready to put out Somerville on Game Pass and maybe this other game too. So I guess the timing might make sense. Get people familiar with this game.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Maybe. We'll see. But more Game Pass news. Thimber was saying in chat, Power Wash Simulator has apparently become the biggest Game Pass launch ever.
That does not shock me at all.
So everybody is going nuts for Power Wash Sim. Jacob, have you been playing that?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's definitely not the only game that I've been fucking playing and already claimed to be my game of the year.
Jeez.
That's why I don't let you pick game of the year.
Why? What? It's perfectly fucking valid. I love, like, nah, this, like, after Lumberjack's Dynasty and Lumberjack Simulator, and I discover, like, you know, along with Aki, like, the Zen of the Wood Chipper and the Nail Gun, I'm just like, ooh, power washer simulator is going to be awesome. And it fucking is. Like,
yeah, in Jacob's defense, from what I've watched it, I haven't actually played it yet. It is very chill.
Yeah.
It is all so these fucking
chill. Why do you think I like them?
And the best part is, like, I'm doing all these levels that are supposed to really be done like co-op. Like, you know, I'm taking care of like a whole fucking building or two buildings. And yeah, it's just there I am, like,
4 player co-op, fuck that.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Actually, I think it has eight player, doesn't it?
I think some levels are like 6 or something like that, but
oh, fuck that.
But yeah, like, I've just been like doing like the whole building co-op by myself, and yeah, I'm having fun. Like, does it take me 5 hours? Yeah, but like,
I mean, lots of things take me a long time in these types of games, so that's perfectly fine. 5 hours isn't that bad.
Yeah, like, I freaking love this game. So
nice.
And also, Power Wash Sims Twitter account retweeted me, and Xbox Game Pass replied on it. So whatever.
Okay.
I was going to ask. I have a question. I have a power wash question when you get there. Okay. Well, sorry, you said, you know what? And I interrupted you.
Oh, I was just giving the finger to Joe and Aki. It's just, you know, standard.
Why are you giving the finger to me this time? I mean,
I know, but I don't want you to get, you know, think I've gone soft or anything.
You're always soft.
I didn't want to make that joke myself.
Not after I take these pills, I won't be.
He's about to go power washing. All right. Speaking of pills. So do you ever like start a level in Power Wash and you're like, it's like built for several people and you're like, my God, this is going to take forever because your spray is not very wide or something. I haven't watched much of the game. Oh,
my spray is wide.
Okay. I guess we're still sexual. I'm trying to like back into the game, but either one, you can answer either question, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'll be zenning out with a game, but if I start a level and I know it's going to take for freaking ever, it's hard for me to like re-zen. It's hard for me to get back in the zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're feeling it though, right? You're feeling it.
All right. And the thing is like, you know, it's got the, what do they call it on Xbox where you could like just hop out and hop back in and all,
Quick resume?
Yeah, thank you. Quick resume. It's got that. So, I mean, like, if I feel like going off and playing some other game, that's true. Whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Quick resume is awesome.
Yeah. Is it timed?
No. There are challenge levels that are timed or you only get so much water. But I haven't bothered with those. And I don't know if they're, like, required to get all the achievements or anything like that.
Gotcha.
But there's also the special levels, which, like, you get to power wash the Mars rover or, like, an entire locomotive. But those are pretty awesome.
Huh. Hmm. Hmm. Sold.
Good.
Yeah. And, like, I actually have started streaming on Twitch with this game because one of my buddies, he has sleep issues. And I was telling him about this game, and he was just like, I don't believe you. This sounds dumb, but like, can you just stream it so I can see how this game plays out? And for the last 3 nights, I've been streaming on Twitch, and I'm
sleep.
Yes,
that's awesome.
Like, yeah, like I'm that just like, hey man, I'm up on Twitch now. Because the sound of like the power washer going is like kind of like ASMR for him, I guess. But yeah, so like for the last 3 nights, he's been like, dude, I've been sleeping like a baby, like to my stream.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Well, back to the news. Game Pass. Games are leaving Game Pass at the end of the month. We're losing 5 games. Some big ones are leaving. Dodgeball Academia is leaving. Katamari Damacy Reroll, Luminous Remastered, Omno, and Raji and Ancient Epic are all leaving Game Pass.
Okay, everyone needs to go get Omno and Raji. They're both really, really, really fast games. You can beat those over the weekend. Just go get them.
And how do you spell Omno?
O-M-N-O.
O-M-N-O.
O-M-N-O. Oh, yeah, I see that. Okay.
And Katamari, I was interested in, but I don't think... From what I understand, that is a really has some achievements that take forever to do.
Probably. So it's like, it's a fun game though. Katamari games are great. If you've never played one,
I haven't. Yeah. That's why I was
on
my list.
You should give it a go.
It's on sale regularly for like $10. So like if you don't grab it now, just wait for a sale.
Yeah. Discord voice chat is coming to Xbox.
That's cool. That's very cool.
That's really, really cool. It is rolling out to insiders now and will be available soon for everyone. Hopefully this is just the first step and PlayStation comes next and they find a way to make Switch happen as well. That would be amazing to have a universal chat platform on every console.
I would be pretty cool with that.
Pretty awesome.
And now people could pretty do their awesome. Could do our show from their Xbox.
I would be pretty cool with that.
That's interesting. Assuming it works well.
Hope so. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't, and I have a pretty decent headset for my Xbox, so maybe I'll just phone it in from now on. Fuck it. I won't even sit here on my
computer. You haven't been already?
Yeah, I have. A new report suggests that CD Projekt's stock has dropped by over 75% since the launch of Cyberpunk. Doesn't sound good for them.
Yeah. Hopefully they get out another game and, you know, do all the right things and they don't go to shit. But it is not looking good right now at all.
Not at all. But fingers crossed they figure something out, because I like The Witcher and I want The Witcher 4 to happen.
Did they say it was?
That's the next one that they're currently working on, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I could have sworn that they had announced it.
Pretty sure. I don't know. Nintendo is discontinuing the addition of funds to the Wii U and 3DS eShops on August 29th. The shops will close completely March 27th.
Wow.
So if you at all want to buy anything on your Wii U or 3DS, you must add funds to your account by the 29th.
You know, the 3DS launched on the March of 2011. So that's just like, that's 11 years of available digital stuff. And it was like, what, one of the most successful systems for them. So that's just, that's a bummer. That's all.
It's just not been
that long.
It sucks.
Didn't seem that long. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
No More Heroes 3 will be hitting Xbox, PlayStation, and Steam on October 11th. I'm excited for that one. I am so pumped No More Heroes is finally coming to Xbox.
Yeah,
that's which cool. one is it, did you say?
No More the Heroes 3.
I really still want the first and second one to come.
Fun fact, the first game is on Xbox 360 in Japan.
Is it really?
It is? Huh. Oh.
Yeah, in Japan. Damn.
They need to change that, because everything I've heard about the entire series is that it's great, and I kind of want to play it from the beginning.
Yeah, hopefully if No More Heroes 3 does well, they'll port 1 and 2 as well.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
I really wanted to play that for a while.
Something else I know you want to play, Saints Row has gone gold and is ready for its August 23rd release date.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yep. Something like I'm excited about, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Cowabunga Collection is releasing August 30th.
Yeah, what's that? I don't know what that is.
That is a collection of all the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, and Game Boy games.
Oh, that's right. I do remember hearing about that.
Like 13 games or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I didn't even realize
there were that many of them.
And I think some of them are going to have online play, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
The NES game, is that there, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great soundtrack.
Stank-ass damn level. Mario Strikers is adding Shy Guy and Daisy in its first update alongside a Desert Ruin Stadium, and that update happened today.
Nice. Daisy and her double D's. Very nice.
Oh, God. And then last video game news I have is that Ubisoft canceled 4 games that were in development, including Splinter Cell VR, Ghost Recon Frontline, and 2 other unannounced games. What are your thoughts on that? Any thoughts on Ubisoft shutting down 4 games?
Well, VR doesn't shock me. Xbox isn't really pushing that, so them going like meh to that, understandable. I'm glad they didn't do another fucking Ghost Recon game, because the last one they did is a clusterfuck. And the other two, I'm pretty sure probably one of them was another Splinter Cell game, and I'm kind of sad it's gone because I want a fucking new goddamn Splinter Cell game. I've wanted one for fucking years now. Brat bastard.
When was the last game? When was the last Splinter
Cell? Blacklist, which was on the 360.
What, like 2013 or something?
It's been a while.
Don't like that.
Is that the one where it put the big text up in the environment, I think, during the credits? Like,
yes.
I played
yes.
Yeah, 2013.
It's the one where they decided to not have Michael Ironside play as the character. Oh, yes.
That's right.
And everyone did not particularly like that, so it didn't sell super well.
13. 2013. 9 years ago. Crazy.
Yeah. Man, we're getting old.
Yeah, well, you guys are old, but...
You are, too.
I'm getting there. I'm not there yet.
Give it time.
Remember back when we had the Xbox One and we used Splinter Cell to hack the Xbox to put the ROMs on or something? That was
only.
Mech Assault. It was Mech Assault and Splinter Cell, right, Joe? Is that right?
Were those the games that you used to...
Yes, save. Oh, what was it? Save exploits. That's how I hacked my Xbox. That's Splinter awesome. Cell.
I didn't know that's Mech how you Assault. Did it. I didn't really follow the Xbox homebrew scene that much.
Yeah, we hacked the shit out of our Xbox and put MAME stuff on it and didn't run very well, but we thought we were cool.
Yeah, I didn't have an Xbox. I started at the 60.
Yeah. Oh, well. One more little bit of news I have in Movie Watch news.
Sonic?
Not movie Sonic. Watch. It is not Good Sonic Burger? Movie. No, it is not. Well, technically, there is Good Burger news in that I did get my Steelbook in.
It looks pretty nice.
Oh,
it,
shit.
Yeah. Good Burger Anniversary Steelbook.
Is that a Best Buy thing?
Amazon, I got it on.
Okay, cool. Right on.
$15.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie trailer came out today, and it looks fun.
Yeah, I saw that. It actually, it does look like it's going to be a fun romp. I'm looking forward to that.
That looks like a campaign of chaotic stupid, and that's what I play, so I'm all fucking for that. Yeah,
it looks so campy and ridiculous, and it looks exactly like it should. And I'm excited to see more about it. Comes out next year. And, Jacob, I'm sure we'll have Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie watch.
I don't know. It depends on how much it annoys Aki.
Yeah, see, sadly, that one wouldn't annoy me, so he's not going to cover it. Because I would actually be interested in that, so he's never going to talk about that game or that movie.
Aki, any news on your end?
Sadly, not this time.
Nothing. No. Jacob, what about you? What news do you have?
When you were talking about the Ubisoft stuff, did you talk about the Avatar game or no?
No.
News?
Okay. I was going to say, that has also been pushed back.
It literally happened 4 minutes ago, and you don't remember if I mentioned Avatar? Like,
no, because you were talking about Ubisoft stuff, and I like got lost in the heat of the moment.
In microtransactions.
I heard Aki's voice, and I like got very lost all of a sudden. You know how it is.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so what is it called? Frontiers of Pandora? Yes. Whatever. Yep. It was supposed to launch at the end of this year. It's now not going to launch until 2023 or 2024, which I'm just like, holy shit. Like, well, I mean, if they're saying 2024, I mean, that sounds like they're like fucking scrapping like most of the game. Like, holy shit. Because isn't the second one supposed to release at the end of this year?
The movie.
Yeah, Avatar Maybe. 2.
Maybe. I don't even know if that's going to be coming up anytime soon.
Oh, I guarantee it will. There's no fucking... Avatar The Way of Water 2022.
Hmm. I'll have another Avatar movie I need to buy. Okay. I actually like that series. I like the first movie, so I'm going to get the second one.
The machine's pretty good.
Yeah. It was really, really good until you bought the special edition version and they basically admit to committing bestiality.
Man, what?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, oh, y'all didn't know that. Yeah, the head tails that they use to connect with the animals to ride them.
Yeah.
It's also how they have sex with each other.
Yeah, they say that in a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like the theatrical version. They said it too.
They brought up both? I don't remember.
Yeah. Hmm.
Okay. You, well, there you go.
Were you too busy jacking off during the movie?
No.
Suspicious. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much all I got. I don't know. Go buy a power washer simulator.
Fair enough.
All right. Grant, any news on your end? Any video game news?
There's one thing that popped up that caught my eye that doesn't involve penis tails. And it's that, did you hear, you know, people have gotten Doom to run on everything since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Time beginning when Doom was invented, obviously. Like, they got it to play on a pregnancy test a few months ago. I don't know if you all saw that one. It's pretty amazing.
They did it on a Lego brick recently.
Yeah. So they got Doom to run inside of Doom. Have you heard this?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it Doom running inside Doom, or was it Doom running inside Doom 2?
Oh, I thought it was Doom inside Doom. I might be wrong, but
it's running in one of the games. That's what matters.
Yeah, it's basically it's similar to like what they do in the Games Done Quick with their TaskBot stuff. But they basically got Doom, the code of Doom, to code Doom, and you play Doom inside of a screen while you're in the Doom universe playing. You're basically Doom guy playing Doom.
What the hell?
I think we can sort of put this away now. Maybe we're done. Maybe we're maybe we're Doom on the Moon. Danimal's gonna play Doom on the Moon. My prediction. Anyway, I just think that's amazing. It's like just finding additional ways to exploit code that's been around for a very, very long time. So I just think that's not headline shit, but that's good shit. So yeah.
Oh, man. All right. One little bit of news that I just saw pop up. A couple of new games coming to Nintendo Switch Online. This month, we are getting three new games for the Super Nintendo with Kirby's Avalanche, Fighter's History, and Diva Story 6 Imperial of Nirsartia. I've never heard of that game.
What is this?
I never heard of that game before.
Where I didn't see this news. Is this like a?
It literally just popped up.
Yeah, cool. Just happened. I just posted it in chat. Yeah, I never heard of Diva Story 6. What the hell is it? Has anyone heard of Diva Story 6?
No, I've never heard of it.
I've never played that series of games.
I think it's a Japanese exclusive game that they're bringing to America for us to check out.
How
do you spell Diva?
D-A-I-V-A. Crazy.
NES mech game. Fascinating. Like a giant mech. Man, you know, people always bitch about the games they put out for these. I feel like, because there's stuff they don't know. What is missing from these services that you guys want on here? Like what NES game or Super NES game? Okay, Chrono Trigger. That makes sense. I mean, that makes so much sense. But it also makes sense why they're not doing that.
I mean, they haven't re-released it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. God, they did the DS version. It's not like they don't want to.
Like, do something with it. For the love of God, do something with it.
Good answer. So that's, what about NES?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know what all is on. Is Kung Fu on there?
That's a good question. I don't know.
That's a good one.
Is Kung Fu on there?
I know pro wrestling is on there. That was one.
Yeah, that was an early one, which I loved. I was a Starman apologist.
Good shit.
Like, I mean, my thing, like, if there was anything that would honestly get me to switch over, would be to like take a bunch of essentially just Japanese exclusive games, translate them, and toss them up on there. Like, especially since like some of the companies, like they practically own the thing anyway, like Bandai, like they developed like a shitload of Gundam games.
I just
translate them all and then just toss them over there. I mean,
just translate them all. Like translating the games is an easy thing.
Well, I'm not saying it is, but I mean, it's just like, I would actually pay for like a collection for that kind of shit on Xbox or Nintendo Switch. I'd pay for something like that. I'd also love for Tecmo to get the rights back to Samurai Pizza Cats and get that NES game up on there too. I fucking love that game.
So there you go. Samurai Pizza Cats and Chrono Trigger. That's what we need.
And the Gundam game. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oh, and Chrono Trigger. And then moving on. Yeah. No, I'm trying to think what's not. Is Pilot Wings up there? Pilot Wings is up there, right?
I have no clue. I could easily like reach over and grab my system and turn it on and look.
Not easy enough, though.
It's all the way over there.
Yep. Use the force.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole like Diva story thing, like Wikipedia like acknowledges that it exists, but there's like no, like there's no entry for the series. They're just like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Did they just jump to six? Like that's a great way to make
it. No, it lists 4 and 5. So
interesting.
But I don't know what
Diva's story 6 is the 6th part of a 7-part series developed by Toshiba. The series is not a collection of sequential stories, but rather a presentation of the same story from 7 different perspectives.
Oh, fuck, that's amazing. You got to release all at one time. How are you just going to put 6 out? That's incredible. That's like the most meta NES.
That's the only one ever. On NES, too.
Oh, that's just messed up.
The others are on MSX.
The first one is on the NEC PC 8801. The second game is on the FM 77 AV.
Okay.
What the fuck are these things?
I think PCs. I'm just saying random letters, I know. But the third game is on the Sharp X1. And then
X1. Never even heard of that.
Number 4 is on the MSX. Number 5 is on the MSX2. Number 6 was on the Famicom, so the NES. And then number 7 is on the NEC PC 9801.
Wow. This started way before NES. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, the X1 was a series of home computers released by Sharp from 1982 to 88.
Huh. Also, Toshiba made this game. Toshiba, yeah.
Toshiba.
Sorry, I probably don't want to play any of these games, but the fact that they exist is really neat. That's crazy.
Crazy.
I don't.
I wonder if it's in English.
The sixth one is probably not. The sixth one was made by something called T&E Soft. I don't think it's Toshiba though.
Okay.
Because it's now under something called Daikokia Global Holding Company.
What I'm looking at says it was developed and published by Toshiba EMI.
Interesting. The title screen of this game has both English and Japanese. Hmm. And the password screen is just kanji.
No. Nice.
Good shit. It's interesting. This is wild. I'm going to play this.
Nice.
Well, and then I'll know the perspective of this robot.
Grant, we're going to have to get you back on to review that one.
Well, can you buy me all these other machines so I can play the whole series? Because I'm in.
Sure. Let's see. Find them, and we'll talk. No,
some of those are probably cost a small
Sharp fortune. X.
No shit, Aki.
Like all of them. Go. every last one. I mean, this is all Japan, right? So
that'll be the next bit goal to get Grant the Sharp X1.
The crazy thing is they could totally emulate these systems and put this out. They could package this and put them out as a package, you know, on Switch official. Sell it for $10 and
Jesus Christ.
They could, but that'd be like doing work and no.
So I'm trying to I don't know how the fuck much it's gonna cost just for a Sharp X1, but like the games for it go anywhere from like $11 to 200 some odd shit.
Yeah, that's not Jesus. Surprising.
And they're all on like 5-inch floppy disks.
Yeah.
Oh no.
But you're on it. You got it. You got it covered. Just keep going and play some bids, and I'll be back this time next year.
They are on tapes. Oh my god.
Entire series.
Play some bids. Excuse me.
You know.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, Grant, we have reviews to get to, so we're going to let you get going. Yeah. Love having you on the show. We got to get you back on again soon.
See you in a week and a half.
Indeed. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I sent you a link to all our theme songs. If you get drunk and bored and want to do a mashup, do it.
Oh, you mean like what I'm getting ready to do? I'll probably have this done before your show's over, so watch the DMs.
Yeah. I can't wait. All right, we'll let you get going. Grant, we love you. Hugs and kisses.
Later, y'all.
Have yourself a good night. Do you have any final words?
No, thanks for having me on as usual, and thanks for pushing the BitGen stuff. It's a fun, it'll be a fun family gathering of old school VGM junkies, and good thing to celebrate. So
awesome. Right. Can't on. Wait to see you.
Cool. Yeah, talk to you later.
Hugs.
Later. Hugs.
All right. Review time. Y'all ready?
Yep.
Compact Prolina for $500. Jesus. These people are nuts.
He's not.
So you ready for reviews?
No, I'm busy. I'm trying to buy Grant his computers. Come on. Fuck off.
Aki, you ready for reviews?
Yes, yep. I'm ready for reviews. Jesus.
If you want to keep looking shit up, we'll let Aki go first.
No. Oh, God. I'd have to sit through Aki's stuff. Hell no. Well,
it's not like you'd be paying any yours. Attention. Yeah, and it's not like you'd be paying any attention, so what the hell do you care?
The thing is, though, is that I actually do pay attention to you.
Like, oh, shit.
No, it's true. I unfortunately do.
I don't believe you. First game to talk about tonight is Severed Steel, developed by Greylock Studio, published by Digirati, released July 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $24.99. A stylish single-player FPS featuring a fluid stunt system, destructible voxel environments, loads of bullet time, a unique one-armed protagonist, and a dark electronic soundtrack. Jacob, tell us about your time with Severed Steel.
So this one, it is a first person shooter where it's kind of like super hot in like, you know, you obviously have to dodge the bullets, but like there's a interesting like little gimmick with it. And essentially if you stay still, you're dead, but as long as you keep moving, you're going to be okay. Well, theoretically, it takes like 4 or 5 bullets to like, you know, knock you down depending on what difficulty setting you have it as. And I will say this, the trailers make it seem like this, you know, you're just doing nothing but bullet time and like, you know, shooting people and doing parkour all over the damn place, which is fair. But I also found the game to almost be like as much of a puzzle like platformer as it was first person shooter. And so essentially what it is that you're getting from point A to point B, like a standard first person shooter, which I know. Yes, Jacob, shut up. And you're given this like white door that you have to like figure out your way through. Now, the game will try to guide you using like these lights on the floor, but it really doesn't matter. Like you could just go pretty much damn wherever as long as your abilities let you. And everything, like almost everything, is destructible. Like, and if you stay behind a wall long enough, that thing will blow up too. But yeah, you just gotta keep moving. And like, there is no reload. There is like you can't swap out weapons. The only time you ever swap out weapons is when you pick it off of a dead person. Which I thought was kind of fun. And so it's just a lot of like jump, dive, wall run, all this other kind of stuff as you try to get to higher levels or lower levels sometimes, as you're making your way through this base. And you're just occasionally like, there are objectives that you have to do, but a lot of it's just, you know, find the exit, get the fuck out. It's just, it is a game that I can tell you, this is not a game to play baked. I mean, like it's, I don't know. It is much more frantic than like Mirror's Edge, which is really the only game I can think of to compare it to, in terms of like that parkour, wall running, all that kind of shit. This is not a game where you get to like stand around and like, you know, admire the architecture of everything and, you know, look at the world. This is a game you need to keep fucking moving and you need to have your wits about you. So, yeah, it's a really interesting experience. I liked it. And
how are the visuals in the game? How do they hold up? I know they talk about
it's
voxel environments. Is it all voxel visuals or is it more realistic?
It's more voxel, but like there's such a blur and like, you know, you're trying to move. Like that you're just, as I said, you're just trying to keep moving and stay alive, that you really don't have the time to like really admire everything. It's just, as I said, it's a very frantic game.
I think this is the one I was watching Carnage play, and like 5 minutes into it, I'm like, all right, I got to watch another stream because I'm getting motion sick. And he turned off the motion blur, and it helped a little, but I was still feeling kind of nauseous watching that game. It seems really fast paced.
It is. And that's why I said this is really a game you have to keep your wits about you. Because even hiding behind stuff, like the environment will eventually be destroyed by like the enemy soldiers and stuff like that. And you do spend a lot of time dodging them. I mean, like, you can kick them over, you can shoot them. Shooting them is satisfying as hell, because like there's this like little thing that pops up that's like headshot. Like, it's like this text bubble that pops up. It is pretty fun. But like, you can kick them over. And like, if you kick through a door and like it smashes them against the wall, oh man, that's pretty great too. there's, as I said, it's a lot of fun, but it's also really frantic. And it's just, I don't know, for a game like this, I wish it like it allowed more of a breather, but I found myself doing like a lot of like 10, 15 minute spurts of it. I don't know. I just like, I wish that there was almost like a peaceful or like a ghost mode, so I could actually just like look at the level and see how it's put together instead of being like, oh shit, I gotta run. Like, yeah. Now I have to jump off of this. And it also at times, like there's a couple of them where like, the exit is located in the ceiling, and it's just like, you'll jump up there and it's like, it's not letting you exit. And that's because like there's some sort of objective that you also had to do on that level. And in my opinion, the game didn't like really explain that enough, or like it doesn't make it like really known that, oh, by the way, you needed to do this. I mean, at the very beginning, it's just like, oh, you have to clear this, but then there's like no reminders. It's just, you know, and then I had to, for that one level, I had to like go back and figure out why the fuck, like, can't I exit? And then I was able to, but, thanks. But yeah, this is I'd recommend buying it, but at the same time, like, I mean, I'm enthusiastic enough about it to say buy it, but I'd also recommend trying it too, like, to make sure that it's right for you before you go off and buy it. Does that make sense?
Like, so it's a recommended try it. Basically,
yes,
like a highly recommended, like enthusiastic try it,
right? Very much.
Okay. All right, next game is Strikers 1945, developed by Zero Div and City Connection, published by City Connection, released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $9.99. Strikers 1945 is a vertical scrolling shooter game that first appeared in arcades in 1995. Battleships and tanks transform into futuristic mechs, enjoy heart-stopping boss battles at every turn, the hallmark of the Striker series. Thank you so much, No Time, for the Prime sub. 40 months. Good Lord. That is a lot of months. Strikers 1945. The bullets are coming for you. Jacob, are the bullets coming for you?
I mean, kind of. But I would just like to say, for a game that is set during World War II, I don't remember seeing any of these mechs on the History Channel or or on Saving Private Ryan, or even in my grandfather, both of my grandfather's stories from World War II, they never mentioned giant mechs. So I'm just going to warn you right now, I think this game's a little historically inaccurate.
Well, historical inaccuracies aside, which, you know, granted, they may have taken a liberty or two when describing the war.
You know, I don't know. In terms of, like, for historical basis, I'm sorry, this is going to be a deny. So it's a top-down shoot-em-up, and, you know, standard, you know, airplane setting, like, and you get to choose from, like, five or six different airplanes. Each one of them has, like, you know, certain stats, like, one of them, like, flies, you know, is like, quicker, one of them fires quicker, that kind of shit. And thankfully, the game also has different difficulty settings, including setting one, which was called Monkey.
Chris? He would be so happy that you're finally talking about a game with Monkey difficulty.
And of course, I had it set to that because I'm just like, you know, I'm here to like have fun, and you know, I'm not really there to be challenged. And like the game's just like, yeah, this is like the baby difficulty. Like you bring no honor to your family kind of stuff.
Did you bump it up to like 3 or 4 eventually? You puss.
No. But anyway, well, the best thing is that I still couldn't beat the game on monkey level. Because even though it's just like, yeah, we give you a bunch of like continues and shit like that, this game like will still, it only gives you like a couple of seconds of invincibility after you pop back up. And it's real easy to get killed in this game, surprisingly. But yeah, so anyways, so top down, and it's standard stuff. Like you're either going over an airfield, you're going over a battlefield, going over like some like enemy battleship. And at the very end, all of this is randomized, by the way. So it's not like, so with the achievements, it's like destroy this boss, destroy this boss. So thankfully, you like if you suck at these games like me, then it's not like you have to progress through levels 1 through 10. It's just you have to keep playing the game over and over again because the boss that appeared on level 2 in one game could be like the boss for like level 8. Mm-hmm. And it just randomizes it all. So I thought that that was kind of nice. So like no two playthroughs should be the same exact thing. But anyway, so you get to each level and something on the battlefield, whether it's part of the ship or it's this like huge mecha tank, transforms into this giant mech. And then of course you have to beat it and you get power-ups and, you know, you just fire tons of shit at it until either you or it dies. So, I mean, it's fairly standard for the genre. I really enjoyed it. I wish monkey difficulty was a little bit easier, but you know, I still enjoyed it. And I do appreciate the fact that like it allowed X amount of continues, with it. But, yeah. So if you're a shmup fan, then how much is this?
$10.
$10. Honestly, I'd say it's worth it. I had a lot of fun with it.
Cool. And, if you're not sold on that one, there's another one you could check out. Soul Divide, Sword of Darkness, developed by Zero Div and City Connection, published by City Connection. Also released June 29th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows 10 for $9.99. Soul Divide, Sword of Darkness is a horizontal scrolling shooter game that first appeared in arcades in 1997. Other than normal shots, players can also use melee attacks to deliver vertical slashes to enemies, as well as 11 different types of magic spells. Jacob, what's going on in Soul Divide?
So this game is all over the damn place. And yeah, it's a horizontal shooter. For which I've never really seen one quite like this. And the thing is that it might just be my inexperience with the genre. So, but this
Chris
one
Taylor would be so disappointed in you.
Well, I'm trying to get into this genre. Like that's like with Xbox releases of stuff. So, you know, be nice.
No,
fuck off. All right. So anyway, horizontal shooter, and it almost feels like it wanted to be like an action platformer from like 1995. It feels like it wanted to be, but they were just like, oh no, we need a new shoot 'em up like out in the arcade. So we have to do this. And so you're this like mystical warrior person that's like floating through the air and everyone else is also floating through the air. And yeah, you just have to like slash at everyone or use your magic. And one of the, like, it kind of annoyed me because it wasn't like Defender where you could go to the left or right. Like you're like, however you're attacking, like you can't just go forwards and backwards. You can only shoot to like to the right side of the screen. And so it wasn't as easy to come up with tactics to like screw around with everybody. And so a lot of the times, like the enemies are just like up getting it, like they're just getting up in your face and like trying to slash at you. And it's not, I don't know. I found this one way more difficult than Strikers 1945. And yeah, it's just like you get power ups, you get the magic stuff and you can use them. And like the animations for them are pretty cool. But it's just this game. I don't know. Like, as I said, it felt like it wanted to be a different genre, and it's not bad. It's a bit of a challenge, but I just, I don't know, certain gameplay mechanics just didn't make as much sense to me. It's, as a newbie to the genre, it's not bad, but I wasn't, as I said, I wasn't as enthusiastic about this one.
All right, well, they're both $10. What are your thoughts on each of the two games?
I mean, for Strikers, I'm an absolute, like, you know, buy it. For Soul Divide, it's just, the thing is, it may also just be like, you know, Jacob's a noob at this, like, and doesn't understand, like, this is, like, actually a good game. Like, I fully admit that there is a chance of that.
Yeah.
I'd either say try it or wait for a sale on that, on the other one.
Sounds good. All right, well, that's it for you, Jacob. I guess we'll let you get going.
Ooh. How much is 43,000 yen? Anybody know? God. Hold on. 43.
$300.
$300. All right, cool. So I located a computer for Grant. So if you've got $300, we can get it shipped from Japan on Yahoo Auctions.
Jesus Christ. Does it come with the game at least?
Oh, God, no. No, dude, this is just the computer and a keyboard.
Oh, a keyboard.
Yeah. So it's just fucking A.
God.
This shit's expensive.
All right, well, we're going to let you get going. Right. We got more reviews to take care of. I would normally ask, are you going to do the tweets? But I have a feeling you're just going to play Power Washing Sim instead.
Yeah, I'm just going to be doing the tweets tomorrow. Okay. Love you.
Next game to talk about is Hazel Sky, developed by Coffee Addict Studio, published by Neon Doctrine, released July 19th on Xbox One and Series X and S for $24.99. Sent to an island far from home in the flying city of Gideon, Shane must pass the trials and return as engineer or face banishment. Connected via radio, Shane and fellow trainee engineer Aaron strike up an illicit friendship, a friendship that will change the way Shane sees the world. Aki, tell us about your time in Hazel Sky.
Okay. I don't know how many of you watch those Hunger Game movies, but this world is basically that, except for they don't fight for things. Just every city does the one thing. And if you don't do that one thing, they get rid of you. And I'm putting that very nicely. They get rid of you. So you're some 14, 16, whatever year old kid dropped off by his father or grandfather, I'm not sure which, on a deserted island, and you have to complete different trials to get to the engineering city. And if you don't finish those trials, no one's coming back for you. So, have fun with that. And apparently a lot of people do not make it off these islands. So yay! And you find out very quickly that they don't, because there is corpses everywhere.
Oh God.
Yeah. Mostly skeletons. Only a couple of them aren't. So there's that at least.
Well, it can't be that gruesome since the game's rated E.
Yeah, it's not particularly gruesome. The couple that aren't just skeletons are like super emancipated looking people, but they fully outright say, oh yeah, they're dead. So I'm actually kind of surprised this is E, to be honest.
Well, maybe it'll get bumped up to E10. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm not sure I would want a child playing this. and basically he's an engineer, so he has to fix things. Apparently, they don't really care about engineers all that much, even in the engineering city, which is run completely and utterly by engineers, because they give you plans on how to fix things with only a couple problems. And on the plans, it tells you exactly how to fix those problems. It's like, anyone could do this. You don't have to be an engineer to be able to do this. This is basic. So, you're supposed to do this solo. Originally, apparently, there were mentors that were supposed to help people through or something. I'm not sure. But they got rid of those for some reason. And you end up finding a walkie-talkie, basically, that allows you to talk with some random girl named Erin, who's also going through her own trials. And yeah, the whole game is just you doing the four trials. There's just four of them. But while you're doing this, you can find letters written by people who have or have not made it back to the island. You can find little books. You can listen to the radio, which is something that is technically not legal in your city because they've completely gotten rid of all art. It is outright banned in that city, and all other jobs that aren't straight up engineering jobs are basically no, you don't do that. They're undesirables and you don't touch them. They should be purged type mentality. So, you know, you get to play music and you, there's a guitar that you find regularly throughout the levels that you can play the little tiny bits of music on, and the character actually sings and they sound adorable. And yeah, that's really all you're doing for almost the entirety of the game, and the other part of the game I can't really talk about because that'd be spoilers.
Yeah. So there's a mystery to the game.
Yeah. While you're listening to radios, it tells you backstory of what is happening in the city, and some of the books will give you hints on what's happening in the city as well, based on old rumors and stuff. And that stuff combined tells you what the most of the rest of the game is. But and you start figuring that out like immediately after, I think on your second radio, I think that you find you start getting the stuff and you can start putting it together. I really liked it. There was a lot of exploration in this. There's between not just the books and stuff, but you know, you can also find little keys occasionally, and they open chests that you also have to find. And in there you can find more hidden notes or some specialty books or stuff. It was from other people who went there who locked up their stuff and obviously didn't make it back, or maybe they just left their key there for the next group to find it. So you get a little more backstory from that as well, which is really fun, and it makes hunting for the chests and the keys and stuff really kind of enjoyable to do, because it gives you just that little bit extra for not an entirely lot of work, thankfully. So, yeah.
Well, it's $25. What do you think about it?
I really like it. I think it's a super cute, super fun little game. You can beat it in a day easily. It's like a 4 to 6 hour long game. And yeah, there's a lot of collectibles. So have fun with that.
Cool.
And there are achievements for them. So.
All right. Well, next game is Dread Out 2, developed by Digital Happiness, published by Digirati, released July 15th on Xbox One, Series X and S, July 20th on PS4 and PS5 for $19.99. Dread Out 2 is a third-person horror adventure that draws inspiration from Indonesian folklore and urban legend. Plays Linda Melinda. Is that right? Linda Melinda?
She goes by Linda, but her name is Melinda.
Oh, me, Linda. All right. A high school student with a supernatural power, the ability to sense and see ghosts. Aki, what's going on in Dread Out 2?
Okay, this is the second of the series of games. The first one is not on Xbox, so it's on Steam, though. You can go play it there. And basically, you've come back from the events of the first game, and everyone in your class hates you. And so you're like, well, fuck school. Then you go about dealing with ghosts and stuff, because apparently you are part of a bigger grand plan somehow, and ghosts gravitate to you, and not necessarily good ones either. So you have to deal with those, and you deal with them by taking pictures of them, which is very reminiscent of another game I reviewed on here, Fatal Frame. This doesn't do it as well, but that doesn't shock me. A much smaller studio.
Yeah.
For this, I can only compare it to the Steam version of the game, which I haven't played, but I've watched people play, because there's walkthroughs up, and I use that sometimes to help me figure out what the hell I was supposed to do in the game. And There are a number of ghost fights in here that you have to do. There's a couple optional ones. But you have to be at a specific distances away from enemies, and they have to be doing specific things for you to be able to take a picture and actually damage them on the Xbox One version. They're very specific. You have a very narrow window. It is really, really unnecessarily hard. And then I'm watching like the Steam walkthrough where they're like, oh yeah, pretty much any time they can take a picture, they can damage things. It's like, huh. So there seems to be an issue with that going on. It makes the game... I honestly did not think I was going to be able to beat the game. I spent hours on individual bosses that, you know, walkthroughs they beat in like 4 or 5 minutes. I spent hours on because there just wasn't the ability to click the button and actually damage them. Because you can take tons of pictures of them, but only when the camera has this glitchy stuff will it actually damage the ghost. And it was on the Xbox. It just seems like they did not do that well in the port. So hopefully they'll fix that, because that makes the game damn near unplayable. It's so, so hard.
Jeez.
Yeah, otherwise it's pretty good. The character runs around at a decent speed. I really would have preferred if they allowed you to boost your speed more often and for longer. But, you know, it's really just an adventure game where you do that. You walk around different areas and you deal with the ghosts or monsters that show up. For the ghosts, the only things that hurts them in any fight is just the taking of pictures. But sometimes they actually pull you into another realm, basically, where you're in the shadow realm or some shit. And they actually have physical bodies there. And in that, you use your camera to stun them. And then you have a actual weapon that you've picked up in that level somewhere. And you get to whack the shit out of them with it. And I really enjoyed those sections because those were doable. and you have, you know, when they're stunned, you can walk up to them and stab them in the front and do a super damage instead of just swinging for the fences. You can actually do like effectively a backstab, but from the front, and it also has a backstab as well. And I really like those sections because that was much more doable. Hopefully, I've already reported that issue to the devs, so hopefully they'll increase the times to be similar to Steam or longer than Steam, since Steam has a mouse and keyboard and therefore a lot faster. But otherwise, I really enjoyed the game. The characters were fun. Sadly, you didn't interact with very many. The main ones were your character, your landlady, who I guess technically you didn't have to interact with, but she's right there, so you might as well. A young girl called Professor Momo, who is researching urban legends, and you can help her do that throughout the game, which is really a good little side quest. It's one of like three side quests in the game, and all three of them are fantastic. And then you have just yourself as the other. And all of them are really interesting. The way they talk is really fun. The landlady's the stereotypical, you know, kind of fed up with life type landlady. She's like, bring me the money you owe me, please. Just, I'm so tired of this. And Momo's this really cheerful young girl who talks about how she's at university, even though she's like 12 or something. And I'm just like, but she's so bubbly and friendly, and it's adorable. And yeah, it's just the world feels somewhat lived in because of these characters. Sadly, you can interact with some other characters that are on the streets, but there's not a whole bunch of them, and you don't actively get to interact with them. You just get to hear them talking to each other. And because there's not a whole bunch of those, it kind of somewhat feels dead otherwise, sadly. But yeah.
Oh, is this one stands for $20? What are your thoughts?
I would wait until a sale for this one. Just this one also is another fast one, but especially right now with how hard it is, I can't be like, yeah, go buy this. I think after they patch it, sure. If they patch it to make it easier for the ghost fights, yeah, I think lots of people will enjoy this, especially if you like Fatal Frame.
Cool. Works for me. All right, next up is Seduction, A Monk's Fate. Is this an SML After Dark game?
No.
Okay. Sorry, Norg, next time. Seduction, A Monk's Fate, developed by Koei-X Studio and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released July 20th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $7.99. Side-scrolling action and classic adventure storytelling come together in a horror-themed tale about a monk who must enter a dark and surreal realm to uncover the truth of his monastery. What mysteries lie hidden, and can those he respects truly be trusted? Take control of this young man as he explores and converses, questions everything he knows, and defies the advice of his elders. Aki, what's going on in Seduction, A Monk's Fate?
All right, this game starts off with a man and his baby telling some nunks they need a place to stay because the dad borrowed money and from not good people. And those not good people are, well, let's just say he won't be around long if they find him. So the monks let them stay, and they tell the main monk, the abbot, monk abbot or whatever it is, tells one of the other monks to take the father to the room and take the baby to the caregivers. And then it suddenly boosts 20 years into the future, and you're now playing the baby, and your dad left you there after he was brought to a separate room from you. And you've been given a brand new room recently, and the monks say, oh, it's, you know, because we want to teach you to have no attachments, which sounds gibberish to everyone. And you've been having nightmares ever since you entered that room of a pale woman and her music box. Not that she does anything, it's just nightmares anyways, for some reason. Apparently you really hate women, I don't know. And, you know, so you go back to your room after the monk tells you to basically stop thinking of women and to go reflect on your shit. And then you suddenly wake up in another area. Your room is suddenly open to the elements, and you're in some dark, twisted, fucky land where everything is not as it seems, and things are trying to kill you everywhere. So, yay! Real fun! Yeah, for this, basically, you defeat enemies, for lack of a better word. Most of the things that you defeat literally can't attack you even. So, I don't know if we want to classify them as enemies, but they're not good things. And you defeat them basically by him doing his sutra prayers, which is really interesting. Sadly, you don't get to hear him actually do any of them, but it creates this big bubble around him, and anything in the bubble turns into what it actually is, which defeats it. Just really cool. Otherwise, it's a point-and-click adventure game where you go find items and you use them. There's not a lot of game here, so there's not a lot of things to find or enemies to defeat. I think this game took me like 2 hours or something to beat, so this was a very quick game.
I mean, that's not awful for an $8 game. I mean, we've certainly paid more for less.
Significantly. Yeah,
so for $8, what do you think of this one?
I think it's pretty good. It has a decent story to it, and I really like how the game plays. It's not something I've seen done this way before, so I'm totally for it. And it's a good couple hours to fuck about with.
Cool.
You'll probably need a walkthrough, though. I'm just telling you, you'll probably need.
Are you questioning my abilities?
I'm questioning everyone's ability when it comes to this fucking game, because some of the stuff in this is not really 100% like, oh, this is obvious. Lots of it is, but sometimes it throws you for a loop, and you're like, what? So yeah, but there's walkthroughs all over the internet.
So, yay.
Yeah, YouTube has 100 of them. even ones that are 100% walkthroughs, specifically for like PlayStation stuff, which are probably the same achievements on the Xbox.
Yeah, I'm sure they're the exact same.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, one final game to talk about tonight. We are going to revisit AI, the Somnium Files, Nirvana Initiative, developed and published by Spike Chunsoft, released June 24th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $59.99. 6 years ago, the right half of a corpse was discovered. The left half was never found until 6 years later, completely fresh, with no signs of decay. Aki, we talked about this a month ago. We were somewhat limited on what we were allowed to talk about due to embargoes and the fact that they didn't want us to spoil anything later in the game. So you wanted to revisit it now that we're allowed to say whatever we want about the game. So there may be spoilers in this coverage.
I'm still trying not to hit any spoilers.
Okay. But now that we're able to talk fully about the game, what are your thoughts? What else did you want to say about AI, the Somnium Files, Nirvana Initiative?
All right. For just in case any of you somehow weren't here, because I'm pretty sure all of you were here for the last one, but in case you weren't, you play as a couple different detectives, a young woman who basically is going inside the mind of one of her partners at the police department and playing as him through a chunk of the game as well to try and figure out the half-body killer, as they are called. And you use this not just with the two human characters and their obviously their ability to go into other people's heads, but you also have a AI eyeball that's in your head. So yes, their eyes had to be removed. The young girl lost it in an accident. The dude actually had it removed willingly through a surgery. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, and guess what? When you leave the police department, you don't get to keep the eye. So, you know, now you've just lost all your depth perception for the rest of your life after you're done being a cop. Yay!
Yay!
This isn't DLC for Thimber. Just asking if this was a new DLC. This is a second game. This is the second game altogether. The first game deals with a completely different mystery to solve than this one. They're two different cases. But in this, you know, there's some branching paths that you find. And last time I was like, I've only gone one path. If all of them keep branching like this, then there's going to be a fuck ton of paths. There's only two paths from what I've found, because it hasn't split off again since then. Huh. And I found, because I decided, hey, I want to go try this other path. I couldn't access it. You actually need information from your first main playthrough in order to actually unlock things in the second playthrough to continue it. Because where the split is you ask the girl is inside the guy's mind and she's like, do you know who the killer was? And you get to choose, I don't know, or yes, I know. And for the main game, you obviously obviously click I don't know, because
you don't know,
obviously. But if you go the other route, it actually asks you to input the name of the individual. So until you've actually played far enough into it to know who that individual is, you literally cannot access that, which I thought was super cool. So there's a technically two branches that I found so far. Just one of them isn't a proper in-game branch. It's just in this level, there is something you can do that also, you also have to get to the end of the game in order to find the answer to. So that's really cool. Investigation, because it's not, obviously, it's the half-body killer is a serial killer. For the first chunk of the game, you only know of one, but going through this guy's mind, you actually see the other bodies that were part of this case instead of just the one that the girl is more familiar with. So you get to investigate those and you get to see more abilities that your AI partners have and stuff. And it just opens up and becomes a lot more interesting character wise. So yeah, that was really my updates to it. Great game. Fantastic. I think everyone should get it. And the first one.
So $60, your verdict was a buy it and that hasn't changed, has it?
Not at all. Go out and get it. It's fantastic. As a matter of fact, go buy the first game too, because fuck it. Why not?
So mad. I tried so hard to get the collector's edition for this game and I could not find it anywhere.
It had a really interesting statue in it, didn't it?
Yeah. It was only $120 too. It was a good price for it. I was excited about it. I could never get a pre-order anywhere. So Spike, if you're listening and you know anywhere that has some statues left, shoot me a message so I could buy one. I want to buy a collector's edition. Thanks. Hugs. That's it for this episode. Music this episode, we are going to play some tracks from our good friends who were just on the show. We've got a song from Stemmage featuring Mega Beardo, and we have a brand new unreleased track from Viking Guitar off of the game Musical Range, which is a VR action rhythm shooter on Steam. Looks pretty crazy. I might have to see if that's coming to any other platforms in the future. Maybe it'll hit PSVR 2 in the future. But yeah, that's it for this episode. Big thanks to everyone who came on and chatted with us, except for Jacob. Fuck him. Aki, thanks to you. Nah, fuck you too. Any final words before we wrap up the show?
Fuck you too, asshole.
Yeah, well, fuck you.